Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Boy, we have got some grim predictions from hedge fund managers. In particular, Paul Tudor Jones comes out and says, you don't want to own stocks. You definitely don't want to own bonds in this type of unprecedented environment for the market. So let's dive right into this CNBC article. And headline, Paul Tudor Jones says he can't think of a worse financial environment for stocks or bonds right now. Key talking points. Jones said the environment for investors is worse than ever. That's a bold claim. As the Fed is raising interest rates when financial conditions have already become increasingly tight. Financial conditions have become increasingly tight. What does that mean? We've got M2 money supply continuing to go up. I think he's talking about monetary policy becoming tight. But again, I don't know that I would go so far as to say that's all financial conditions. But anyway, let's not nitpick here. You can't think of a worse environment than we are in right now for financial assets, Paul Tudor Jones told CNBC on Tuesday. Clearly, you don't want to own bonds and stocks, which is what most Americans' portfolio is made up of. It's the typical 60-40 risk parity portfolio, if you want to call it that. And if you go to any financial advisor, this is what they're going to tell you to do. Go to Dave Ramsey. I mean, he's just 60-40, you know, own stocks, own bonds, dollar cost average, you know, all these things that you hear over and over and over again. And then they'll just give you a chart going back to 1981. And if you ask them for a chart prior to 1981, they probably won't give it to you because it doesn't confirm their sales pitch or it doesn't back up their sales pitch. But now, to Paul Tudor Jones' point, we're in a completely different environment where if you've got that 60-40 stock portfolio, might be adjusted a little bit for age, but basically, if your 401k is just stocks and bonds, especially like growth stocks, boy, oh boy, you got problems. You got big problems. And I think for most Americans, obviously the ones that aren't watching the Rebel Capitalist channel or my whiteboard videos, or that aren't subscribers to Rebel Capitalist Pro, which all of you should do, for those people who would be the vast majority, their portfolio is going to go through a lot of pain. And what are they going to do? They're most likely going to ask their financial advisor, quote unquote, and the financial advisor is just going to say, well, buy the dip, buy the dip, buy the dip. In fact, I heard Jim Cramer the other day on CNBC saying, you got to buy the dip now. You got to buy the dip. You got to do it before the Fed raises rates by 50 basis points. So I think that Paul Tudor Jones would definitely disagree with Jim Cramer. So first thing I wanted to highlight and mention is pretty much one of those key points where Jones said that you can't think of a worse environment. Now, I'm going to push back on this just a little bit here in a moment with a chart, well, I can find the chart from, yeah, I can, it's right there, good, that will go back to the 1970s, and it isn't totally unprecedented. Now, more on that in a moment. The founder and chief investment officer or Tudor Investment believes investors are now in uncharted territory. The central bank had only eased monetary policy during past economic slowdowns and financial crises. He said investors should prioritize capital preservation in such a challenging environment for virtually anything. Now, I agree. And as you guys know from watching my videos, or if you're a member of Rebel Capitalist Pro, I'm gonna just subtly plug that the whole video. But you know that in my own personal portfolio, I'm holding more cash than I usually do. Now, not to say that it's 100% cash by any stretch of the imagination, but as a percentage of my overall net worth, I guess, I'm holding more cash now. And I've been doing that pretty much since November, December. That was kind of my strategy. And this is why, because the Fed, you know, once they came out and announced they're going to raise rates, and then I see M2 money supply kind of tailing off. You see the budget deficit of the United States federal government, the stimmy checks are going away. The budget deficit still extreme, but going down. And I'm like, okay, well, where is this demand going to come from? Or where's the purchasing power going to come from? And then you combine that with negative real wages and incomes. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is a setup for the stock market to most likely go down significantly. And sure enough, the NASDAQ has gone down, I think this last month, according to what Schiff was saying on his last podcast, down more in the last month than it's been down since the GFC in 2008. So you think about how much the average American's portfolio is comprised of these growth stocks that are in the NASDAQ. I would argue a large portion. Therefore, if you've got the wealth effect going up, you're going to have the reverse wealth effect going down, which leads to a lot of headwind, to say the least, or a lot of downward pressure on GDP. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. So now let me go ahead and push back on what he said here. He said this is uncharted territory as the central bank had only eased monetary policy and going into past economic slowdowns. For the most part, he's right, but I pulled up a chart. Oh, that's just what I got from the thumbnail. I pulled up this chart. Let me enlarge it. Okay. This is the effective Fed funds rate. So overnight rate, which is now 25 basis points. And the CPI. And you can see, to Paul's point, when, and these gray lines, by the way, are recessions. So we can, in this blue line is Fed funds. So like right here in 1960, as an example, Fed funds raises in, and then as soon as the recession starts, then they drop. Same thing here in 1970. They raise rates. As soon as we get a recession, they drop. And even in with Volcker, raises rates here. We had a recession, very short. We got CPI going down. So then he drops rates. I'm assuming he was the Fed chair at this time. I know he was during this period right here. And then what happens is nominal GDP, or actually this would have been probably, real GDP, because we're out of recession in this white little space right here. So then real GDP goes positive, and even though it went positive, Volcker came in and raised rates again to just really make sure that inflation continued, the CPI continued to go down. But again, he's raising rates when GDP is positive, when we're out of a recession. And then once we get into this recession, even Volcker drops rates. And of course, since then, of course, the same has been true. But look at right here in, call it 1975. They increased rates. This would have been Arthur Burns was Fed chair during this time, I believe. So Arthur Burns raises rates, gets the recession, but then roughly in 1975, he didn't see CPI go down. So although they were in a recession, he raised rates. So I don't want to nitpick too much, because the concept of what Paul Tudor Jones is saying is spot on. But I just wanted to illustrate that. I just wanted to point out to the Rebel Capitalist viewers that there was a time in the mid 70s when they jacked rates when we had negative GDP. Now let's go back to the article. And Paul Tudor Jones talks about capital preservation and what I was referring to with my own personal portfolio, holding quite a bit of cash, relatively speaking. Then he goes on to say many on Wall Street have grown, Now this is the author, and I really wanted to push back on what she was saying here because this is utterly ridiculous. Many on Wall Street have grown more concerned that the Fed could tip the economy still in the middle of a pandemic. Really? You're still grasping at that straw? I mean, come on. In the middle? So what you're saying there is we're, you know, in 2022, so let's say 2 years into the cerveza sickness, you're telling me that, or you're making a prediction that the cerveza sickness is going to be this impactful on the way people live and the economy for the next 2 years at a minimum? I mean, come on. And again, this is, I think, a great example of these people on the coasts that are just your typical CNN viewer. They're surrounded with their own little circle of family and friends who see the world the exact same way, that are, let's say, hysterical or have been when it comes to the cerveza sickness. And everyone around them is still freaked out about the cerveza sickness. So they assume that that's just representative of the entire United States because they've never taken the time to just go down to Florida or go to Arizona or Texas, where if you would say that we're in the middle of a pandemic, people would just laugh at you. Like, what are you talking? Maybe. Sure. Does the cerveza sickness still exist? Have we eradicated it? No, of course not. But is that to say that it is changing consumer behavior or changing the way society is living right now? For the most part, absolutely not. And so that's why I think just this kind of little throw-in statement is just completely absurd. But it's just representative of how detached these people are in like New York City and LA and San Francisco from the reality of the majority of the United States. So now he goes on to strategy, which I thought was interesting. And of course, you can learn more about this type of strategy in Rebel Capitalist Pro. And you can check it out at georgegammon.com/pro. There you go. But he says, if there was a strategy I would want to employ right now, if someone put a gun to my head, I'd simply do trend following. They're not too popular today. Trend following used to be very, very popular back in the day. If you read the Market Wizards books, as an example, they probably do very well over the next 5 to 10 years. So one thing that came to mind here also was the Dragon portfolio. And if I was a trader, which I'm not even close, but if I was, I think I would be very interested. I would be very interested in trying to deploy not just a trend following strategy, but commodity trend. And that's part of the Dragon portfolio from my good buddy, Chris Cole. And why? Because I think we're in a long-term super cycle with commodities. So I would want to understand that trend following strategy to apply it to that long-term view. That's not investment advice. That's just kind of thinking out loud and me saying, if I was a trader, what would I do? All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.